Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or, a lot of ors in there, right? Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. Again, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Those are the inviolable words of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution of America. America. How much of that is left in America? It is fascinating that in this modern day and age where anything goes, Congress, House, and Senate pay little attention to the First Amendment, for at best it is a guide, something subjective, and of course to be interpreted, depending upon the political mood and era, and of course the agendas and objectives of disparate groups and entities. There are, in fact, any number of laws which affect religion, including more that prevent the free exercise thereof, no matter the First Amendment, laws that affect and abridge speech, a lot of them, and penalize unwanted speech, you know, like hate speech, whatever that is, and even the right of the people to peaceably assemble, witness pickets and protests to abortion clinics. In a day and age of anything goes, it seems that anything really does go in Congress, depending upon who wields the power, don't you think? It is not a matter of making no law with respect to fundamental rights like religion, speech, press, or assembly, but rather making laws which Congress, political parties, or interests can get away with. There's no accountability in America today. No matter whether constitutional or not, it seems as though everybody gets away with anything until such time as it winds its way year after year up to the Supreme Court of the United States. We are democracy in slow motion, and nothing really seems to happen. No matter that we the people may petition our government for a redress of grievances, our grievances are almost always ignored, and we the people seem to have less input and influence and impact. Input, influence, and impact as each year goes by, no matter which party or individual wields the power. They wield the power. We react. But hear the words again of the First Amendment. Do you care about them? Congress shall make no law. No law. Congress. Notice that the First Amendment restricts and prohibits action and activity by Congress. Congress, and not the Supreme Court. Not the Supreme Court. It has been determined, even assumed by our founding fathers, that the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS, would be comprised of 9 fair-minded, objective, law-abiding, and interpreting justices who would respect, protect, and defend the Constitution, and otherwise do what is right for we the people as the final judicial arbiters. How about that? Do you think that's happening today? Those 9 human beings never had the power to add to, expand, or otherwise legislate as they went about their judicial business, but they're doing it now. In fact, so much Supreme Court activity has been activist in nature. And again, in fact, the Supreme Court has made law, found new laws and new rights and new protections not granted or specified, there's the word, specified by the Constitution or any other constitutional authority. Not one. They can function, this Supreme Court, and have so many times as they wish as de facto legislators. Again, de facto legislators making law, finding and making law, identifying new rights under the Constitution. Where did they come from? rather than abiding by their constitutional requirements and authority and doing precisely that and only that, no more. They have no authority to do more because that's all they were authorized to do, namely, interpret the Constitution as it is. Determine the constitutionality of the laws and legislation of the Congress and the states. That's it, not make law. The latest example of this activist court is the recent case of Obergefell versus Hodges. In that case, the Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, at least five of these black-robed justices found a brand new constitutional right, not of course mentioned in any way in the Constitution, that would permit gays and lesbians to marry. That now becomes a constitutional right. Nowhere, nowhere has such a right been identified or delineated or specified in the Constitution or, of course, ever discussed by our founding fathers or even legal scholars for years. The Supreme Court of the United States identified, again in its infinite wisdom, the right to gay marriage under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. Wow, that poor 14th Amendment. By the way, have you read that lately? That amendment reads as follows. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Sounds good, doesn't it? So far, so good. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That sounds good to me. How about you? Nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Sounds good, right? So that, said five justices, interpreting the power granted by that 14th Amendment, they said, if any of our 50 states legally grants the right to heterosexuals to marry in that state, so then, that state shall not prohibit any other twosome, any other twosome, however they are constituted and whoever they are, to marry in the same way. Wow, do you buy that? And that is so no matter the definition of marriage. To do so would revoke the privileges of the citizens of that state. And of course, said Justice Anthony Kennedy, one of the five concurring justices and the one who wrote the opinion for those five, no person should be deprived of life, liberty, or property. In this case, of course, liberty and equal privileges. Wow. If heterosexual couples can marry, so can gay couples, said our all-wise Supreme Court. Why, it's right there in the Constitution, whether or not we see it. Justice Anthony Kennedy relied in his opinion for the majority, in this case, on two fundamental constitutional rights. The first, of course, is due process. That is, any legal process, any legislation enacted by the states must apply to all citizens without deprivation of life, liberty, or property. Okay, well, I guess that makes sense. And the second, and that was equal protection under the Constitution for all citizens. The right to marry cannot be restricted to a certain class of people, said Kennedy. It just can't be. Kennedy goes on to say as follows. No union is more profound than marriage. Really? Than marriage. For it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become greater than one, which they once were. Gee whiz. Boy, that sounds wonderful. So therefore, we can expect Justice Kennedy and his four liberal cohorts to protect marriage as a union between one man and one woman? Anyway, so it is in fact that marriage does embody the highest ideals of love and fidelity. It really does. It does indeed involve family, which of course connotes in terms of traditional definition, father, mother, husband, wife, children born of a heterosexual family, and all those so related. That's the definition of marriage and the detail of marriage in terms of family and people. And that, my fellow Americans, has been the foundation of our society, the foundation of Judeo-Christian law and admonition, a union spiritually and biologically ordained. That's God Almighty and Mother Nature. They're working together to form the definition of marriage. And now come five human beings, three women and two men. And they, in their infinite wisdom, overturn centuries of established cultural and societal determinations and the foundation, and usher in for our 50 states and all of us a brand new definition of marriage. All-inclusive. Wow. I disagree. What do you think? The court has ruled that gays can marry. A gay man can marry another gay man, and a lesbian woman another lesbian woman. Whatever the ramifications of that, there is more to come, and that's what really concerns me. I don't agree for a moment with what the Supreme Court did in Obergefell v. Hodges, but there is more to come, much more. Why not, said one scholar, allow one man to marry more than one woman? More than one. Or one woman to marry more than one woman. And why not extend the definition of marriage as far as any would take it, or demand equal rights or protections under this newfound constitutional right? Why not? This decision unleashes incredible possibilities, and the struggle they're under has only just begun. Pay attention to all of this, my fellow Americans. Pay attention. And more from Justice Kennedy, writing for the majority of liberal justices. He said the following: the 14 same-sex couples are not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. So that, says Kennedy, the Constitution grants them the right not to be lonely? Huh? Where does it say that? There is absolutely nothing in the Constitution which grants any two people the right to marry. Nothing. That has always been and should be the function, the legal decision-making of the states, the 50 states of our great union, no matter the disagreement. And hear the words of Chief Justice John Roberts, who said in behalf of Justice Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, Justice Roberts, if you are among the many Americans of whatever sexual orientation who favor expanding same-sex marriage, by all means celebrate today's decision. By all means. But, says Roberts, but do not celebrate the Constitution. It had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Amen, Justice Roberts. Indeed, it did not. It was the unconstitutional decision of Justice Kennedy and the four liberal, you know, in lockstep liberal, they don't even have to write an opinion. You know how they're going to vote to begin with. Those liberal justices who always vote for the liberal position, no matter what it is, namely Justice Ginsburg, Kagan, Breyer, and Sotomayor, a very liberal, biased judicial bloc, who, as liberal activists, love to search for ways to expand the Constitution, change it, find new constitutional rights, enumerate them in their infinite wisdom, just four of them, and consequently make them the law of the land. Oh, my Lord, what has happened to this country? How absolutely incredible it is that the rule of law, the law for all of America, is ultimately determined by five mere human beings, whether conservative or liberal. Five human beings on that Supreme Court tell us how to live. Wow. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush got it right when he said, I believe the Supreme Court should have allowed the states to make this decision about gay marriage. So do I. What do you think? And so do tens of millions of other Americans, including unbiased constitutional scholars. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, had no right or authority to do that in the opinion of so many right-thinking Americans. It is not only a tragic day for marriage, but an even more tragic day for our Constitution, our rights, and the power of the federal government, including and especially the Supreme Court of the United States, to make law, and decide how we the people should live. There are some 325 million Americans who are controlled by the opinions, the beliefs, and the decision-making of 545 people. 545 people. A president, one. 100 senators, 101. 435 congresspersons, and 9 Supreme Court justices. That adds up to 545 people who tell you and me in a democracy, tell us how to live. Even for a republic, for all of its checks and balances, the influence of the American people exists in name only when these 545 people tell us how to live. We have a republic. Founding Father Ben Franklin told us, do we really? A governmental system of checks and balances. A republic, if in fact, said Franklin, we can keep it. Keep it? We're destroying it. Not only is democracy on the wane, but it seems as though the republic slowly disintegrates day by day. Decisions like Obergefell versus Hodges should show us even more clearly that we the people, we the true Democrats, aren't you one? We, the majority, as it is formed, really have no ultimate authority or power over how we live. None. But not to worry, said Dale Carpenter, law professor at University of Minnesota, who himself supports big-time gay marriage. Not to worry. Carpenter said, quote, no church will be required to change any of its doctrine related to marriage. Really? No priest or rabbi or other religious official will be required to officiate a gay marriage. Really? And people of faith will be able to advocate in the public square any particular view of marriage they may have. End quote. Really? Do you honestly believe that in this political environment? I don't for a minute. You can bet your bottom dollar that the militant gay agenda, aggressive as it is, it's only just begun. You could be sure that there will be attacks upon churches and pastors and other religious leaders who would refuse to perform, conduct, or otherwise celebrate gay marriage. That is coming. Bet on it. You better believe that people of faith who condemn gay marriage and any aspect of the gay agenda will be accused as people of hate. Hate, hey, get used to that four-letter word, it's coming big time. And their speech, yours and mine, if we disagree, as hate speech, which will result in further litigation, not to mention an avalanche of lawsuits. If law professor Carpenter really believes what he said, I can't believe he does. He is totally deceived and really does not understand the extent, the power, the angry thrust of this secular political environment and of the gay agenda. He doesn't get it. And of course at the White House, President Barack Hussein Obama, strong Christian that he is, may I repeat that, strong Christian that Barack Obama is, described the gay marriage ruling in Obergefell as a thunderbolt of justice, a thunderbolt of justice, this Christian man said. Obama went on to state, this decision accelerated a march toward equality that progresses as a two-step forward, one step back. I'm not sure what that means. The ruling should give us hope that on the many issues with which we grapple, really, often painfully real change is possible. Well, that's part of your agenda, Barack Hussein Obama. It sure isn't part of mine. What else would one expect from a devout Christian like Barack Obama who does everything possible to water down anything Christian? Anything. The Wall Street Journal stated as follows. The complication is that the Constitution is silent about marriage and social policy preferences. You're not kidding, it is. Which are supposed to be settled by the people, by us, and the political branches. Indeed they are. But they never will be when there is an activist Supreme Court and at least 5 justices, all liberal, who are determined to legislate and remake the law and do away with traditional America. The Wall Street Journal quotes Justice Kennedy as saying in his decision the following: retaining the traditional definition of marriage for whatever reason is to put the imprimatur of the state itself on an exclusion. An exclusion? That soon demeans or stigmatizes those whose own liberty is then denied. Oh, my soul. Such a Kennedy judicial statement implies that traditional marriage is invidious, discriminatory, with no rational basis, says the Wall Street Journal. What an absurd Kennedy conclusion. So now we the people are stuck with this new penumbra, as they call it, of the Constitution. This new constitutional right, which simply popped up like a penumbra, popped up and identified itself as a constitutional right, having hidden itself away for 228 years. And now here it is. Now it exists as our newfound constitutional right. No matter, the Chief Justice John Roberts said that this court is not a legislature, amen to that, this Supreme Court will legislate anytime five individuals believe it should do so. God bless America. The Supreme Court said Roberts has power to say what the law is, not what it should be. But unfortunately, Justice Roberts and his three cohorts were one vote short of doing the right thing. The monolithic liberal voting bloc in the Supreme Court. You don't hear much about that in the liberal press, do you? They had its way, those five, and our Constitution now says what they mean, no matter whether we agree or not. Justice Kennedy goes on to say in his opinion that the definition of marriage to include gay couples, it would pose no risk of harm to themselves or third parties. No problem, says Kennedy. And the Wall Street Journal indicates that it hopes Kennedy is right in practice, and that if he is wrong, he will protect the liberty and the rights of those who disagree with him. I, for one, doubt he will. Obergefell, the constitutional right to gay marriage is only the beginning. There is much, much more to come. Much more. Already clerks in some states like Kentucky, Mississippi, and Tennessee have said they will refuse to issue licenses to gay couples. They will defy the law on moral grounds, and they will engage in civil disobedience. Boy, that's going to be coming more and more evident. If necessary, to uphold old traditions, old and real definitions of marriage, and the moral requirements of marriage as spiritually defined for centuries. But the law, says one scholar, the law will require that such clerks resign rather than disobey. And if they disobey, they, the clerks, will run the risk of going to jail for 1 year. 1 year. Can you believe that? And some clerks say they are willing to do just that, God bless them, rather than compromise their sacredly held beliefs. Would you do that? Christian and Jewish leaders the country over say the same thing. They will not compromise. They will not marry. They will not hire. They will not insure gay couples or otherwise conform with the new gay marriage mandate. That alone and any ramifications thereof, they just won't do it. It violates their biblical principles. They will not compromise. The real battle has only just begun, and the gay leadership will make certain it is fought with every aggression possible. Watch for it. It's only just begun. Now there comes a movement, loud voices calling for the next steps to be taken, and that includes, these angry activists say, the stripping. Ready for this? The stripping of nonprofit legal status for opposing entities and groups and individuals, and most importantly, the revocation of tax-exempt status. You can be certain that the battle will be waged by gays and secularists against religionists, people of faith, and especially the Christian faith, now and forevermore. Batten down the hatches, my fellow Americans. Here come the lawyers, and especially the gay lawyers. The courts will be flooded with litigation from this point forward. Flooded. This thunderbolt of injustice, Mr. Obama, will ripple across America. Millions will be affected. That is so even though polls, unreliable to the core, indicate that there is a growing sentiment for change, that is, acceptance of gay marriage as a concept by more Americans. Really? We hear little, if anything at all, about other marriage rights and duties which may apply to gay marriage, including divorce. Are they going to be subject to that? and child support and property settlements and alimony and more. Presumably, if gays in fact have the privilege of marriage, they will have the duty to abide by the requirements of marriage, whether in terms of an existing union or the breakup thereof, the divorce of that union. Only time will tell. Maybe there's a constitutional right against that, which the five liberal justices can find. People of faith, Christian people of faith, are saddened by this decision, overwhelmed by its potential consequences. Obergefell versus Hodges, and Justice Kennedy and his four liberal cohorts have struck a blow against one of the most fundamental concepts and commandments of Scripture and the strong religious faith of Jew and Christian. It is time now, say many, for people of faith, real faith, to stand up, to defend, to protest, and otherwise refuse not to compromise. Are you willing to do that? With this law or the ramifications thereof, we cannot compromise. Not only is it about this law and marriage, it is about principle. It is about our Constitution and our way of life, and we cannot be ruled by the opinion, the ultimate opinion of five people. It's time for change. As one Christian scholar put it, now is the time finally and aggressively for Christians to be put to the test as to whether or not they will follow the law of Caesar, Obergefell versus Hodges, or the law of God. You know, the Torah, whether marriage or any other immoral or religious law of this society. Are you willing to abide by that with which you do not agree and which your scripture, your Bible, Jew and Christian, says is not right, is immoral? Time it is to step up, my friends. Take up the cross, if you are a Christian, and be willing to sacrifice wherever necessary for principle. That challenge comes to each of us as traditional Americans and people of faith, don't you think? I know what I will do. What will you do?